Good afternoon, everyone. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Polysports on Global Patriot Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. It is Wednesday, October the 27th, 2021, and that means Wednesday, that means Hank Jones Polysports. Other shows on Global Patriot Radio, Mondays, the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, talking about Mamma Mia No Sharia, all the things that are worth talking about on a Monday. Tuesdays, Eric is in with The Cross and the Crescent. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. All three of those go at 6 p.m. Eastern. We, of course, go at 5:30. Fridays, Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday. Always check on that one. He sometimes goes at noon, sometimes 1, sometimes even later, just depending. He's got good guests on, so it kind of that kind of dictates, I think, some of his time slots. Saturday nights, always 10 p.m. Eastern till midnight. Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. And again, remember, that means you don't have to watch Pac-12 football at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue, and please remember, that one is one you need to install an app. You have to do it a certain way. You have to do it right, because otherwise the SCURV patrol comes in there, and they really tried to give him some grief, which is really not fair. Eric is really sharp and tells it like it is. So that's what's going on each day on Global Patriot Radio. Welcome to the chat room, Indie Hawk KB right now. On the phones, I see Hawkeye Mike. I see Big Sister. I see Sue from New Mexico. Welcome back, Sue. Good to see you. Brother Tommy's there, because College Football Forum and Follies will come up later. Let's see what else is going on. Hey, if you want to contact me off show, you can email me hjpsports1980@gmail.com. Go to Twitter at hpolysports. Go to Facebook and just type in Hank Jones Polysports. Those are ways you can find me. You can also, listen via the chat room online, or you can call in. That number is 319-527-6706. That's the best way if you want to talk, if you want to actually hear yourself talk or yell at me or whatever. But yeah, just listen in the chat room. You can exchange banter with Indie Hawk and Vito's sometimes in here, or T Bodie or Bigfoot sometimes comes in. Holger even comes in once in a while. My wife and our little Aussie are here in Hankland Studios, Electric Hankland Studios. Oh, she's laughing. And I hope Sue is doing well. I know Sue's had some challenges recently, some family stuff. Annie as well, be praying for them. G-Ski Rocks, need to pray for G-Ski. And others. Brother Tommy and his classmates lost a friend yesterday or the day before. Sad stuff. It's tough when you lose friends that you grew up with, because you remember them, the day of high school graduation or the day of the baseball game or whatever. So it's hard to picture them gone. Speaking of recent passings, longtime NFL official Carl Madsen died last Sunday. He was 71. He was on his way home from the Kansas City Chiefs-Tennessee Titans game. He had been a replay official. And according to a story from NFL.com that was reported on Yahoo, he was driving on I-65 North when he suffered what authorities called a, quote, medical emergency. Police responded to a call because they said a motorist was blocking a traffic lane. They found him unconscious in his car when they arrived. And what you hear in the background is my little Aussie chasing her buffalo horn around. They found him unconscious in his car. They tried life-saving measures, but unfortunately, he passed away after being transported to a local hospital. I mean, frankly, it's a wonder he didn't, crash and take others. Last Wednesday, Conservative Talk Radio lost a really, really good guy, Pat Campbell. He was host of the Pat Campbell Show. I actually used to listen to him when he was local for a while, and then he went national. He was the Pat Campbell Show, plus he was a guest or a guest host on a lot of other shows across radio and TV. Passed away from brain cancer. They did not list his age, but let me say this. Pat Campbell was he was very good at what he did, in addition to being just a good guy. I called in on his show a couple times way back when. And he actually learned it in part from listening to the Rush Limbaugh show. He would listen to Rush, and then after that show on his local area, some lib-type talk show came on, and he would call in. He was originally a math teacher, but through those calls to his local liberal-leaning talk show, he was very good at debating the host. Not hard, frankly, but, you know, it's a liberal. But he was discovered by some other radio stations and offered a job that allowed him to put forth his conservative views. And he did just that. From 1993 to 2021, he was named many years as one of Talker Magazine's 250 most influential talk show hosts. He guested, like I said, on numerous shows. He was on Glenn Beck a lot. I think he actually guest hosted for Rush a couple times. Just an all around good guy, and it's a crushing loss. Yeah, rest in peace, Pat. Talk radio and conservative radio will definitely miss you. Last Thursday, it was announced that Brian Laundrie, age 23, was found dead in Florida's Miakahatchee Creek Environmental Park right outside Jacksonville. He was a person of interest in the killing or the death of Gabby Petito. They had traveled around and across the country together in a van. Yeah, that wasn't going to end well. His parents helped lead authorities to him eventually. Evidently, they had looked a few weeks ago, and the area was too flooded. When it was less flooded, then they were able to locate him. Weird situation, no doubt. A lot of people think that his parents may have actually had something to do with his death, although they were also accused of maybe hiding him, so who knows. Also last Thursday, Helena Hutchins, cinematographer, was killed by gunshot from a prop gun fired by actor and producer Alec Baldwin on the set of Rust, which is a Western-themed movie being shot in New Mexico. The Ukrainian-born Hutchins was 44. And yes, I'm going to talk about this later, no doubt. Friday, we lost actor Peter Scolari. He had two main roles that he was most noted for, Tom Hanks' co-star in Bosom Buddies, and he was also on Newhart, not the Bob Newhart show, but Newhart, the one where Newhart ran an inn in Vermont. Actually, the ending of that series was fantastic, by the way. It went back to the previous show where he was a psychologist in Chicago. Anyway, Scolari was 66. He passed away from leukemia. Also last Thursday, we lost Jay Black, leader of Jay and the Americans. I lost him to pneumonia at age 82. A few of their hits, Come a Little Bit Closer, Katamiya, This Magic Moment. And no, I'm not playing any of their songs because I wasn't into their songs, so... If I'm into them, then I would play their songs. Sunday, we lost James Michael Taylor. No, not James Taylor. James Michael Taylor, or maybe it's James Michael Tyler. He was an actor, best known for his role as Gunther on the TV show Friends. And he passed away from prostate cancer. He was only 59. Yesterday, saw two notable deaths, neither one with a cause of death listed, but comedian, actor, social satirist Mort Saul passed away. He was 94. He was the inspiration for a lot of other comedians, Lenny Bruce, Jonathan Winters, George Carlin, Woody Allen, all claimed to have been influenced by Mort Saul. One particular target of his comedy, which was often politically themed, was the Warren Commission and its report. And then also yesterday, former football player and coach Joe Lee Dunn passed away. He was 75. He was mainly an assistant or a coordinator, but he also had a couple head coaching stints, one at New Mexico. Gosh, New Mexico's coming up a lot today, Sue. And then Ole Miss. Now, he's considered the architect of the 3-3-5 attacking defensive scheme, which has sort of gained some popularity in college football, including the Iowa State Cyclones. By the way, it was not popular with Michigan fans when Rich Rodriguez tried using it in Ann Arbor. It did not go well there. And at the time, many thought he used it because he just was so short on talent on the defensive side of the ball. But it's done well at Iowa State. Some politics and sports news. Okay, the teacher in California who did a war dance with a faux Indian headdress in a math class Yeah, as you could imagine, Yahoo and others were all over that. But guess what little gem I saw in the article? You guessed it. Earlier this month, California became the first state to require high school students to take an ethnic studies class in order to qualify for graduation. Seriously. I'm serious. Let me posit this little hypothetical. Let's say a family moves to California from, let's say, nowhere land. And the father, Mr. Nowhere Man, of course, is thrilled. His kids get to go to school for free right off the bat. Sure, his kids, they'll have to wear masks. They won't have to learn the pledge. And the free lunches and free health care and monthly checks, that'll be but a small price to pay for his kids having to learn about ethnic studies, right? I mean, after all, what kid doesn't flourish when he, she, them, they is blowing off that extra hour of prep for chemistry test so that he, she, them, they can learn all about different ethnicities from ideologue teachers who are bitter about having to listen to those freakazoid parents who insist there are only two genders. Teachers in school should be accountable to parents for what happened in their schools. Good God. Why didn't they just insist that the ethnic studies class be folded into the gender studies class? Oh, wait. Gender studies is only required at the university level in California. That's correct. You know, I hesitate to mention this, but what about a climate lecture series featuring Greta Thunberg? I'll tell you why. Because I'm afraid if I Google it, I'm going to find out that it's already in place, or at least in the works. God. I would say we need an earthquake to take that place off, but with a daughter and son-in-law who also live on the West Coast, not in California, thank God, but on the West Coast, I'm afraid that could affect them. So I'm not going to pray for that just now. Okay, the Alec Baldwin thing. Okay, first, yes, he can be an egotistical, self-absorbed, arrogant ass. But that said, what happened on the movie set of Rust, the film that he was producing and working on, that was tragic. I've seen some people piling on, and I guess in that regard, the issue is that Baldwin has in the past made statements that would seem to indicate a belief that the Second Amendment is limited or restricted. Fine. Disagree with him. I mean, I certainly do. But, you know, what happened on the set of Rust was awful. But when an actor on a movie set puts his trust in a prop master, that person thinks he has a reasonable expectation that the proper firearm protocols have been observed and that utilizing the prop gun will be safe. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't absolve that actor or actress of responsibility or accountability. And in this case, it appears that several members of the cast and crew had left the set hours before what they felt were unsafe conditions. It's also out there that live guns had been fired on the set as well. As many people have also pointed out, Baldwin may have been practicing with that gun beforehand. Others have pointed out, remember, Hollywood uses a lot of technology and trickery to make it appear as though guns are being pointed and fired at a person. But in reality, they're usually being aimed at and fired at blank spaces. That's the way that, I mean, they can do that. So it'll be interesting to see more from the investigation to know just how safety protocol or how mere common sense was observed or not observed on this production. Look, this is a lesson. Unfortunately, it's been seen and learned previously that a real gun is dangerous, even when it's loaded with blanks. And the idea that toy guns or fake guns should be used on a set, it actually does take away from the authenticity and credibility of a film or a show. So right now, that's not an answer. I know people are saying, no guns on sets. Look, the fact remains, there should have been proper instruction and warnings that even though it's a prop gun, it's still dangerous if not handled correctly. However, it also happens to be going around that Baldwin had been practicing, whatever that means, that he'd been, quote, practicing with that gun. Alec Baldwin is going to regret and agonize over this for the rest of his life. Maybe. Tough enough. He may pay a legal price and will certainly pay a civil price for this. In that regard, I would normally say I feel terrible for him, but look, I can't help but see this guy as the borderline sociopath who exhibits some of those classic traits, i.e. the feeling that everyone else in the world is universally stupid or inferior to him and that he himself is inherently superior and thus he doesn't feel accountable to society. So no, after reflection and, of course, more info being released, I don't feel as bad for him. It also looks like already the sacrificial lambs are in play. I mean, the prop masterer, the armorer. And here's something disturbing. The release of a letter to cast and crew from the production company, that's concerning. For one, it was unsigned. No individual signed it. And it all but said they should cooperate with law enforcement, but not with media. Huh. I mean, doesn't that seem a little odd, given that Hollywood typically relies on media to run interference or champion their works or their causes? Why else exclude media? You won't like my answer, but it's the only answer I have. They don't want media to know. Or worse, they don't want media to tell the public that there are probably little discussions going on between the production company and law enforcement agencies and investigators. That's probably why. Look, there's going to be calls for, quote, gun control. And the proper response is, like any accident, that caution should always be observed when operating a firearm, just as it should be observed when operating a motor vehicle or farm equipment, a chainsaw, or other heavy machinery. But it's going to be bad enough that the calls for gun control are going to come. It's more ironic that one of those involved who's often called for gun control and yet is now one of the principals in this tragedy. But again, Alec Baldwin's mistake should not result in penalizing law-abiding gun owners. Blame and accountability should be placed squarely on those who didn't take proper precaution to prevent this from happening. Now, a final thought on this so that I can hopefully put Alec Baldwin out of sight and out of mind. Is it not ironic that an institution like Hollywood, which collectively sounds the clarion calls for gun control, is always making movies and TV shows that feature guns and gun violence? De Niro, my brother and I talk about him a lot. Great actor, great roles. Now he's just such a tool. He's unlikable. But he's one of those that's called for gun control in the past. And yet, look at the movies he's made. Now, on another front with regard to gun rights, specifically as it involves self-defense, a Wisconsin judge has told a prosecutor that the counsel for defendant Kyle Rittenhouse can bring in the criminal records of the men shot by Rittenhouse, including a conviction on pedophilia-related charges. The state is also prohibited from referring to those three men as victims, while the defense is allowed to refer to the three as rioters, looters, and arsonists. The judge was not happy with the prosecution, and he was not friendly to them. The state and the defense have reached an agreement on allowing the defense to call a self-defense expert on an accepted pre-arranged set of topics. So yeah, despite the media painting the events and occurrences leading up to that shooting as an unsolicited, unprovoked, and aggressive attack by Kyle Rittenhouse, yeah, a sane, knowledgeable judge who's given a chance to review the facts is seeing it for what it was, clear self-defense. College football. Texas Tech has fired their head coach, Matt Wells. They started 5-3 this season. Now his overall record in two plus seasons is 13-17. He's 7-16 in Big 12 conference games, 0-2 in home conference games this season. According to the Tech AD Kirby Hoka, he met with Wells and informed him of the decision on Monday morning. Wells was surprised and, quote, didn't agree with the decision. Can't blame him. Apparently Tech, having blown a 14-point second-half lead against Kansas State last Saturday, that was the turning point. Hocutt said there was no point in waiting on a decision. Now look, Tech has four games left this season at number 4 Oklahoma. Then they host number 22 Iowa State and number 15 Oklahoma State. And then they close at number 16 Baylor. As I said, they're 0-2 in conference play at home. Former Tech quarterback Sonny Cumbie, who has been their offensive coordinator, he will serve as the interim. A search committee will consist of former Tech player and now an executive in the oil and gas industry, Cody Campbell, former Tech running back Sammy Morris. He is currently their assistant director of player development. Deputy Athletic Director Tony Hernandez, and then Tech Regent and Booster Dusty Womble, who just made a $20 million donation to the Athletic Department this month, which eerily coincides with the firing of Wells. And therein lies a problem, I guess, in college athletics, the buying of influence by people solely on the basis of financial contribution rather than actual knowledge or expertise. Now, look, I have no inside info on the football IQ of Dusty Womble. But, you know, the mere fact that the money makes it onto an ESPN article tells us way too much, if you ask me. Now, look, Dusty Womble may be a fine person, and he may be a football genius. And it really should be about that, not about who gives money to a school's athletic department. Now, the fact that the athletic department would put a donor who made a recent sizable donation on a search committee is not good optics, I don't think. Then again, I now look at it from this angle. If this were a research grant, the Womble would want to be assured that it was properly applied. So, yeah, maybe we really can't have it both ways. Again, though, some of these firings and or retirements in the case of Ed Orgeron are really puzzling to me. I mean, especially when they happen mid-season. Now, none of them is probably as absurd as Nick Rolovich at Washington State, who couldn't get any sort of exemption for that state's vaccine mandate. But even that one, you could explain that that's an employee not following guidelines or policy. But personally, I just don't see how mid-season firings can help a team in any way unless the head coach has clearly lost the team. Players and staff are actively complaining or law-breaking if something like that has happened. I mean, other than that, I just don't see how it's good. I just don't. Oh, meanwhile, the birthplace of college football, or one of the teams in the birthplace, Princeton, got a bit of a gift in their 5-overtime win over Harvard last weekend. Ivy League officials ruled that officials were wrong to review whether a timeout had been called by Princeton head coach Bob Cerace prior to the snap of a successful Harvard 2-point try in the 3rd overtime. This is really stupid, by the way. It used to be, starting in the 3rd overtime, teams had to go for 2 if they got a touchdown in overtime. Now, in the 3rd overtime, they just go for 2-point tries. And in this case, 5 overtimes, that's amateur when you talk about the 9 overtimes that we saw with the Penn State-Illinois game. Anyway, the problem was that's not a reviewable situation. Harvard was successful on their 2nd try as well, but that was nullified by a penalty. Princeton eventually won after the 5th overtime. Meanwhile, in State College, the Nittany Lions hosted the lowly Fighting Illini. Funny thing is, after lambasting Iowa fans and saying they would have beat the Hawkeyes if their quarterback, Sean Clifford, hadn't gone out of our game due to injury, Nittany Lions promptly lose to Illinois in a record 9 overtimes. The bigger picture, yeah, quarterback Sean Clifford played the entire game. Yeah, not only that, Illinois had 2 touchdowns called back due to penalty. I'd say the chances are nil. And I do mean nil, not the acronym of name, image, and likeness, but nil. I'd say the chances are nil that Penn State will be playing in the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis on December 4th. Yeah, some of them were coming to Hawkeye message boards and saying, "See you in Indy, man." Yeah, sure. Get your tickets early, fans. Wisconsin wide receiver and kick returner Devin Chandler, he announced last week that he intends to transfer, and now offensive lineman Caden Lyles has announced he is transferring and says his Wisconsin career, quote, has come to an end. He started 1 game at center this season. He's appeared in 5 games. He did sit out the last 2. Not sure it makes a difference this weekend when Wisconsin hosts my Iowa Hawkeyes. And frankly, I'm not sure of what I think of the transfer portal in this case. It's one thing when a player enters into it preseason or postseason, but midseason, that's just weird. It's not like a player is going to go to a new school and play right away. And also, when you've appeared in 4 or more games, it's a waste of your season, abandonment of your season, because that year is never recovered. Now, I know, not sure how this COVID exemption stuff will last, but I kind of got to believe any player coming in for 2021 isn't affected. So, you know, only players from before, but so maybe he's getting a year back. I don't know, but Now, speaking of COVID, Auburn head coach Brian Harsin has still not disclosed his vaccination status. Now, last week, that school, Auburn, announced a deadline of December 8th to be vaccinated or be terminated. Here's the weird part. Harsin tested positive for COVID back in August. Now, I would think, nay, I would hope, that having had the virus qualifies as an exemption. But in this era of mandates and power lust, it's kind of significant that schools are still enacting these mandates. In actuality, Auburn's policy reads that all school employees have to have received the second dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines or the single shot of the J&J vaccine by November 24th. I guess that assumes thus the two-week inoculation period is in effect by December 8th. Rapper Bryson Gray has stormed the music world with his Let's Go Brandon rap song. The song is number one on iTunes, in spite of the fact it's now been banned from YouTube. The alleged reason is because the song contains, quote, medical misinformation, which violates the platform's policy on, quote, harmful false information. Gray himself said he has no idea what medical misinformation is contained within the song. And YouTube tech support did say that they will review the suspension. Don't hold your breath on that part. Remember, Let's Go Brandon chant never actually happened. What did happen was NASCAR driver Brandon Brown was being interviewed by some bubblehead on NBC Sports after winning his first Xfinity race at Talladega. The crowd behind the interview session was actually yelling F Joe Biden. And the interviewer, Kelly Stavast, remarked how the crowd was chanting, Let's Go Brandon. Seriously, she was chanting. She was either trying to hide the profanity or she was trying to hide the fact that people, including many NASCAR fans, are already fed up with alleged President Dopey Joe Biden, as well as the greater La Dopey Nostra. Anywho, I'd play the song for you all. I can't get it on YouTube. That's the only way I can know how to download songs or upload songs for this to play them for you. So I can't play it for you. Sorry. In a rather chilling article from Michael Austin at the Western Journal, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky told Fox's Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday that the CDC is developing a COVID re-education plan for COVID-19. The plan is specifically geared to those who have not been vaccinated. More chilling still is that the program would target first responders who have walked off their jobs. Most chilling is that the CDC will most likely redefine vaccinated to include getting the booster shot. Yeah, tell me. Let me quickly read it to you because it's really good. In the past several months, Americans who have refused to take the COVID-19 vaccine have been derided as killers, banned from public spaces, and even fired from jobs. Essential workers across the country have chosen to quit their jobs on the spot rather than submit to vaccine mandates. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, during a recent appearance on Fox News Sunday, was asked if the CDC was still, quote, full speed ahead on mandates for essential workers, unquote, despite this reality. In response, Walensky maintained that the CDC was developing a re-education plan for those not yet convinced of the vaccine's efficacy. She said, there are cases where police officers or health workers or pilots are walking off the job rather than get the vaccine. Are you still full speed ahead on mandates for essential workers to get vaccinated? Actually, she was asked that by host Chris Wallace. She began her response by claiming that COVID outbreaks, quote, are the most disruptive problem that a workforce can have. She also said the police workforce has suffered, quote, more deaths from the coronavirus over the last year and a half than all other causes of death for that workforce combined. We'll see if that fact holds up. Don't think the fact checkers have checked it. She laid out her organization's re-education plan. She said, there is a plan should these people not want to be vaccinated vaccinated towards education and counseling to get people the information they need so that they are feeling comfortable in getting vaccinated. Wallace then followed up with a question about the high number of Chicago police officers resigning over their city's mandate. He said, "We've seen some real resistance, for instance, in the Chicago Police Department in the interest of public health on vaccinations. If you have a large part of a police force leaving, in terms of public health, aren't you further behind the ball rather than having main gains? The situation in Chicago does indeed appear dire. In fact, issues with police shortages in the city have become so serious that Illinois State Police and Illinois Emergency Management Agency have pleaded with law enforcement in nearby small towns via email to come to the aid of the Windy City. Screw them. Anyway, Walensky maintained that outbreaks of COVID are a more serious threat than shortages of essential workers. She said, you know, the way you can down a police force is by having a COVID outbreak in that police force. So what we're working to do is mitigate that from happening. If she's to be taken at her word, however, ensuring every citizen is vaccinated may not be enough to end CDC interference in Americans' lives. Because on Friday, she told reporters the nation's definition of fully vaccinated may change to ensure Americans receive COVID-19 booster shots. She said, we have not yet changed the definition of fully vaccinated. We will continue to look at this. We may need to update our definition of fully vaccinated in the future, Walensky said. But right now, what I would say is, if you're eligible for a booster, go ahead and get your booster, and we will continue to follow. Yeah, and remember I said chilling? Well, Brother Tommy's in the chat room, so I'm going to say haunting. Can you believe that? Can you believe what I just read? I read it, and I can't believe it. Again, full disclosure, I am vaccinated. I am not sure I will get the booster, but I am vaccinated. But I also say it's everyone's choice. Okay, off of COVID. I'm done with COVID for today. Here's an oddity. The Iowa at Northwestern game for November 6th has been scheduled as a night game. Yeah, a night game, either a 6:30 or 7 p.m. start. The exact time will be released after the games this weekend. Now, the game against Minnesota, which many thought would be a night game, is still listed as TBA. And that particular game is both a blackout game and military appreciation. So my guess is 12 or 3:30, but what do I know? Why would whatever network is covering schedule this as a night game? I'm sorry, but nighttime in Evanston? I know. The city has come a long way from the days when it was dry and the days when literally you had to bag your own takeout at fast food restaurants. Not lying. One of my sisters took me there. She went to school there. Me and Brother Tommy went in to a Burger King, I think. And we were like, what do we do? And she says, you have to bag it yourself. That was the law in Evanston back then. I mean, I can't imagine Mustard's Last Stand would stay open for the game. Now, the nearby bars might be hopping, or at least with Northwestern fans. For some reason, man, they seem to blow off the games. Instead of just, you know, they just go to a bar and watch it just down the street from Dyke Stadium, now known as Ryan Field. It's actually a good bar. Me and my wife and a couple friends went there the game 2 years ago. Beers, man. Allagash White, a couple others. Good food, too. But, man, go watch the game. You're a block and a half away or whatever. But, no, I couldn't believe it. There were more Iowa fans at that game 2 years ago. Senate Democrats, led by Pocahontas Warren of Massachusetts and Rob Wyden of Oregon, along with Dem caucusing independent Angus King of Maine, have proposed a 15% corporate minimum tax that targets both public and private companies that have $1 billion in profits over a three-year period. Okay, I'm going to touch on this back. Indy Hawk pointed out, it'll never stop, and it's here to stay. T. Bodie had pointed out they're talking about introducing a fourth shot. T. Bodie also pointed out Sweden and UK, 70% of deaths last month were fully vaccinated. Just food for thought. Anyway, this 15% corporate minimum tax tails into the global corporate minimum tax agreed to by 136 countries. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told ABC's This Week that she expects that, quote, yes, I am confident that what we need to do to come into compliance with the minimum tax will be included in a reconciliation package. I hope that that it will be passed, and we will be able to reassure the world that the United States will do its part. Are you kidding me? Do its part? First of all, it should be our, Secretary Yellen. If you can't use the right pronoun to refer to our country, we, the people, should probably take a serious look at whether or not you have our country's best interest at the forefront and whether you should be serving as our Treasury Secretary. Second, the United States already does way more than its part when it comes to funding the world and its governments. I mean, we are a debtor nation, and much of that debt is now squarely on the American people, and a good chunk of it has already been spent or earmarked for, quote, the world. Third, what the hell is with this compliance? We don't owe compliance to anyone but our country. If other countries want to tax our corporations that do business in those countries, so be it. But for an administration that, like its leader under a previous regime, said, American jobs are not coming back, maybe they should learn from the example set by President Donald J. Trump. Prioritizing our country, bringing our jobs back. I mean, relieving corporations and citizens of burdensome taxes, that's compliance. Hobnobbing, kowtowing, and power-sharing with global elitists and terrorists and drug cabals and third-world juntas and tyrannical and oppressive governments is anything but compliance. When in hell did it become necessary for us to reassure the world of anything? Guess what, folks? It gets worse. Senator Wyden is also proposing a billionaire's tax, a levy on, quote, unrealized assets, unquote, of $1 billion, along with three consecutive years of annual income of $100 million or more. Yep, that's a real, actual proposal. Worse, it actually has some serious support. Now look, in theory, they could tax stock in privately held companies, they could tax inherited assets like real estate, or worse. In other words, though they are taxing something before any actual gain is realized. Here's what we should be doing instead. We should be looking at how people come into office, any office, with negligible net worth, and then leave office with a net worth of $5 million or $10 million or $100 million, whatever. How does that happen? We should also look at how and why, for an office that pays $400,000 a year, so for one term that's $1.6 million, or for two terms $3.2 million, how that candidate is raising campaign funds approaching $1 billion or more. Put that in perspective. To get elected to the office of President of the United States, Big Left is typically raising and spending 625 times more than the job pays. For every dollar that job pays, $625 is being solicited, cajoled, and most importantly, spent in order to gain that office. So maybe it's time for not only, quote, election reform, but true campaign reform. Yes, we've had bills like McCain-Feingold. We've had big media decry the use of soft money or dark money. But maybe what big media should be doing is explaining why they accept such campaign advertising revenue from Big Left, while at the same time editorializing that conservatives and Republicans used questionable campaign tactics, including fundraising or campaign spending. It's pretty damn sad that Big Left raises billions of dollars just to spend it rumor-mongering about opposition candidates. Tell you what, if the Republicans do take back both houses of Congress in 2022 midterm elections, the first thing they should do is make sure that voting, campaigning, and coverage is in the hands of the people and the states versus 536 clowns in the District of Columbia looking out for their own personal interests. The second thing they should do is investigate any and all media coverage, especially debate coverage and processes, so that it's reviewed and scrutinized before, during, and after each election cycle. And finally, it might be a good idea to place a moratorium on campaigning outside of election years. There is zero reason for any member of the House of Representatives to be campaigning in an off year. There is zero reason for a member of the Senate to be campaigning in his or her third year of a six-year term. And there should definitely be a provision preventing campaigning across state lines. Look, Plastic Pelosi, Congresswoman from California, has absolutely no business campaigning and interfering in Florida, Michigan, Wyoming, or Maine. Zero. Nil. Goose egg. Or for those of you who are math astute, empty set or null set. Yeah, money raised in Oregon has no place in South Carolina or West Virginia. Senators from Illinois need to let citizens of Nevada elect who they want, not who some group of casino executives or union leadership thinks will serve their interest, usually to the detriment of others. If you think picking on bears is a solution to reckless spending, think again. But if you think it stops there or will stop there, all I can say is you need help. Because it won't be long before a big left-led government is taking all private and personal assets for, quote, the common good. Good God. End of that rant. Hey, it's Halloween season, so we're going to play the Great Pumpkin Waltz. And then when we come back, we will be joined by Brother Tommy, T. Bodie, Hawkeye Mike, and Indie Hawk KB for our College Football Forum and Follies. So guys, press ones on your phone so I know you're ready. In the meantime, 2 minutes, 26 seconds of the Great Pumpkin Waltz, because after all, it is Halloween season. Be right back.
From Birmingham, brother.
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
You get the first word, as you know, because you made the pick. I'm going to bring Mike and Indy in. I don't see T-Bone. Mike, you there?
I do want to get a little bit serious real quickly on you. I appreciate you mentioning a friend that died, and you knew him too. And it's just kind of tragic.
Yeah,
but
very
I appreciate
tragic.
You recognizing the thing of it, you know. It's not complicated. Little hangsters don't do drugs and don't do alcohol. But beyond that, that's my only my quick soliloquy. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. You get that. Mike, you on there? Mike, you there? Indy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Mike is. I got Mike live, but I don't hear him. He's not responding.
Sorry, I had it on mute. I'm here, Hank.
Okay. T-Bodie, are you there?
T-Bodie is in the house.
All right, all right, all right, already, all right. Well, we had some surprises last week. Brother Tommy gets the first word here. Tell us about your awesome pick, Brother Tommy. What was that pick you made?
Well, the pick was real simple. Penn State was vulnerable. Illinois got a running game that's getting established. They were vulnerable. They overlooked Penn State overlooked Illinois. The writing was on the wall to me. So that's just the way I looked at it.
I think Indy nailed it in our group text when he said, Brother Tommy sees the future. So, interesting.
No, I'm very good at this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm very
interesting
good at this
takes
stuff.
Last week. You and I both called Appalachian State. T. Bodie and Indy picked Wake over Army. T. Bodie and Mike picked Oregon. Indy fell off the map a bit. Picked LSU and Clemson. Obviously, part of the
I just don't know what the fuck to make out of Oregon. Go on. I'm
I don't
sorry.
Either. So anyway, T-Bodie, what were your surprises last week, or a surprise?
The Tom was right on Illinois over PSU.
Andy,
how can there be any other year? And he was wrong about Notre Dame. So
yeah.
Taking USC. You know, how can there be any other narrative?
I took USC as well, so. Yeah, but the Illinois pick, that was the legendary pick. Indy, how about you? What was your surprise?
What did you guys say? My speaker just went off, or my headphones. Did you guys just pick on me for some call?
No, we did not.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
relax.
Okay, my bad. Go ahead, then.
Indy, what was your surprise? What was your surprise last week?
Well, I tanked my pick to promote fairness, equality, and equal outcomes, so. I got that done, but I was surprised that Tommy did get Illinois right after picking him for so long.
Nobody's more surprised.
Who was that? Tell whoever that was to fuck off. Who was that?
Hey, Brother Tommy, come on, man. It was.
I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm not allowed to swear. I'm not allowed to say anything. I'm not allowed to say he. I'm not allowed to say she. My bad. Go ahead. My bad.
Mike, any surprises you saw last week?
Yeah, you know, of course, Illinois. There's just another tough game Iowa has left, I guess. And then I was surprised. I actually thought Purdue might beat Wisconsin, so that kind of surprised me. That Purdue, you know, and they looked good against Iowa, but Wisconsin had no problem. So that was kind of a surprise.
I was shocked. Here's what I'm shocked about. The rankings, of course, Georgia. Alabama leapfrogged Oklahoma, but it's basically 1 through 5 or 1 through 8 is the same, pretty much. There's some movement. The Hawkeyes moved back up 2 spots just by virtue of, you know, who knows what. But
other people losing.
Yeah, Oklahoma State dropped 7 spots. I mean, you know, what the heck? I mean, that's kind of – Penn State dropped more. Penn State dropped 13 in one spot in one poll, 9 in the other. So that was a shock. Coastal Carolina, even though I picked Appalachian State, I kind of thought Coastal Carolina might crash the party and, like, you know, be fighting with Cincinnati.
That was a good game.
Well, I'm sorry.
That was a good game. That was a good game if you saw it.
came down to a late field goal.
I told you, dummies, last week, if you're going to bet against Appalachian State at home, you're out of your freaking minds. And you all, Hank, I will say you agreed with me. I take that back. But the rest of you are out of your minds. All right.
Well, I think it was the wish. It was the wish for Coastal Carolina to crash the party. I think, you know, everybody wanted that. So we're going to start with Mike on this one. What are the other observations from the Big Ten, Mike?
Well, you know, just apparently how much Penn State's going downhill is kind of striking me. You know, I mean, maybe Illinois, you know, really pretty solid team, but you know, they've had some bad losses. But it doesn't get any better for Penn State next week, this Saturday. So, you know, they're looking at loss number three, I think. And, you know, Franklin may, like someone said, I think I read something, Franklin, you know, that Southern Cal job may be looking more and more attractive.
If they want him.
Yeah,
Andy,
exactly.
Andy, what are you seeing? What are you seeing overall in the Big Ten? What are your observations?
I mean, I think Ohio State's just going to roll the rest of the way, but I'm looking forward to see. It's going to be an interesting game for our Hawkeyes.
Definitely.
I saw a quote.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a quote from Brian Ferentz. I almost fell out of my chair. He says, Keegan Johnson, he's realized we need to try to get him the football more. He goes for 45 on the first play. you think you'd have an intern or something going, hey, remember he went for 45 on the first play of the game. I want to get it. He got two targets and one catch the rest of the day. But I think you'll see him feature him more.
Yeah, T. Bodie, what about you? What are you seeing from the Big Ten? What's surprising you?
I think the scheduling gods had it right. They've got us down to where there's a round robin in both the East and the West. No one's got any sure shoe into the conference championship game. It's going to be interesting 3-4 weeks.
Yep.
Brother Tommy, what's your observation about the Big Ten? I
agree with all aforementioned opinions. And there's no shoo-ins in the West. There is a shoo-in in the East, I think. I think it's Ohio State. But other than that, as I said last week, and you know me, I'll invent a lie just to listen to myself talk, but I did not watch college football, so I don't have any much. I have nothing more elaborate than what I just said. So that's
okay.
It.
Okay, Andy, what did you watch football last weekend or not?
I watched a little bit. I turned the Iowa State game on. Okie State. I saw that game cost me. Okie State needs a kicker, evidently. Missed
told Kimberly, you dumb. Dumb fuckers. I told you guys. Bet Iowa State. I told you motherfuckers that.
Yeah, I did too.
Go ahead.
T. Bodie, what'd you watch? Did you watch football or did you?
I watched a lot more than I thought I was going to. I did watch that Iowa State game. It was a pretty good game from a neutral standpoint because I didn't care who won that.
Really? Mike, how about you?
Yeah, no, I was kind of a football free day because I was traveling too. I was up in Fort Collins, but I did get to watch most of the Iowa State game, and I'm an Iowa State fan when they're not playing Iowa, and that was a good win. It looked more like the Iowa State team that we thought we were going to see this year, and it's starting to look like Iowa's best win so far is that game up in Ames.
Oh, definitely a good win. I mean, that was a road win against a team at the time ranked in the top 10. So, I mean, I don't know how you can. You know, I mean, unless they fall off, and obviously I don't think they're going to. I mean, Breece Hall now I think 18 or 19 straight games now with a rushing touchdown. He's approaching, rarefied air. So, I mean, the streak is like, I think the record streak is like 24. So, I mean, if he were to score every game the rest of this year, and he's only a junior, so, I mean, frankly, he could, you know, extend it quite a bit. Brother Tommy, did you watch football or not?
I did not. You guys are much better men, bigger men than I am.
Well, then tell us what you watched. We need to know what you watched.
I was suffering from the Hawkeye hangover. I did not watch football. Saw a little bit of highlights, but no. So I'm really not. I mean, I'll win again this week when we do our picks, but that's because I can arbitrage betting lines and whatnot.
Okay.
You guys
did you,
can't.
Just tell us,
but
did you watch?
I
did
not watch
an
it. I did not watch
maybe
it.
Maybe we better go over the year-to-date percentage of what everybody's at for the year on their picks.
Well,
just
let
to
me
humble
tell you.
Tom a bit.
Well, you yeah, pussies, let, other than Hawkeye, well, Hawkeye Mike, other than him, you guys don't even pick upsets. That's the fun of a show. You pick two
okay.
upsets. You guys
let,
always
let,
pick
let,
the
let's
betting
let's
line.
Hear about last week. Last week, Brother Tommy, Hank Eye Mike, because I was picking in Mike's place, and T Bodie all went 10-3.
Yeah.
What Mike? No, Mike, I think went 8-5. Although technically, since he didn't make those picks on air, it can't be, you know, sanctioned.
Those
for,
guys,
for
you had people. You had people that tied me last week.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's
oh yeah.
Bodie and I. Indy though went 6-7. Indy is part of the deep state establishment. Went 6-7. So. That
well,
wasn't,
and you'd have a bad week. That happens. Yeah. But there's no way. Last week I was a freaking genius, and I'm not getting recognized. Oh, you kind of recognized me about the Illinois
yeah.
pick. You're telling me people had the same record as I did?
T. Bodie and I both.
Two of them.
T. Bodie and I both.
Okay.
Did.
I got. Hey, yeah. Hey guys, I'm no longer slouching on the couch. I'm sitting up, and you guys want to play ball with
Never.
The big boys. You got to come
you,
now.
Okay.
You
yeah,
chose
we'll
to take
you
know, USC. You chose to take USC.
To,
you chose to take UCLA. You chose to take Army.
So, T. Bodie, what
did I choose Army?
Right?
You know, the smartest one on the board was, I don't even know who it was. I want to say Indy Hawk was like anyone that, and it was kind of a metaphor, anyone that picks Army and Navy, they don't realize Joe Biden's in charge, so that's a dumb pick. So I will, hey, I give kudos to those that pick it right. I think it was Indy Hawk.
It was Indy. Indy's
yeah.
picks are
yeah,
very
no,
beautiful.
I cannot believe you guys caught me. Appalachian State and Illinois, and you're telling me I tied with someone?
Yep, you tied with me and T-Bodie.
Other than Hawkeye Mike, he gets a freaking pass. Yeah. Other than him, here's the deal, fellas. You got to pick a couple of upsets every
okay.
week. Otherwise,
T. Bodie, T. Bodie,
you know,
let's hear the overall. What's the overall standings right now?
So right now, as we got, some of us haven't picked in so many games, as many games as others, so it's percentage. And by percentage, Hank leads the way at 72%, 72.7%.
Bullshit. Go on.
Second is yours truly at 69.5%. And then it falls
Bullshit.
To a tie with Hawkeye Mike and Brother Tom at 63%. Indy's only picked 2 weeks, and so he had a good week and a bad week. He's at 58%.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to throw in, and then I'll shut up. I'm going to throw in, Hawkeye Mike and I are the only ones who have the balls to pick upsets, just so you guys know
oh,
that.
Oh, no, I took an upset. I took Coastal Carolina to beat Appalachian. Appalachian was favored.
Appalachian won, dummy.
Yeah, but they
I
were
know,
one.
They
and
were
Coastal Carolina, the Carolina, he
Coastal
picked Coastal
Carolina.
Carolina
was a top 20 team. Okay, guys. All right. Hold on,
yeah,
sorry,
brother.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, well, look. Okay, let's go to this, brother Tommy. Since you picked Illinois, you still get the first pick this week. Are your first thoughts Iowa at Wisconsin? What do you think needs to happen?
Hate to do it, fellas, but now I can do it because they lost. I'm going Wisconsin.
No, we're not doing
it,
our picks. We're not doing
Wisconsin.
Our picks. We're not doing our picks yet. We're not
oh,
here
I'm sorry.
Yet.
What you,
I just
what
want
your
thoughts. What do you?
It.
What do you want? What, if you see the if you see one or two things, tell what you have to see that gives you hope that that we will win the game. That the Iowa Hawkeyes
said
will win.
Said it last week or 2 weeks ago. I said it, and I'll say it again. And God, it's going to sound like I'm such a cliche monster. Trenches. Offensive line and defensive line. That's what I need to see. We're not going to see it, but that's what I need to see this week. Offensive line, defensive line. And people don't get it. Sometimes simplifications and cliches are there for a reason because they make sense. And that's the way I look at it. And to me, it's all offensive line and defensive line. There you have it.
Mike, What do you what would you see? What would give you hope if you saw something in the game? What would give you hope?
Well, after the Purdue game, it's hard to have a lot of hope because I didn't see much in that game that did. I would just say that the main problem Iowa has, I think, it really, and it's like 80% of the team problem, is the offensive line. You know, like
yeah,
I think
I
pointed out.
I don't care
if you got Tom Brady at quarterback, if you're only getting 1.5 to 2 seconds to throw it, you know, which is what happened in the Purdue game, you know, no one's going to function well at quarterback. Defense, I'm not really too concerned because I think that the offensive, you know, shit performance that we had in the Purdue game just made it, you know, really tough on the defense. And the scheme that Purdue runs tends, no matter how good Iowa is, to give them trouble. It's just that's the way it is. John Miller had it on his podcast after the game, talked about that, and Northwestern's also kind of similar, although they're really crappy this year. But
John Miller's more of an idiot than you guys think he is. But go ahead.
Well, I think he had a good point on this. And I think
my bad. Go ahead.
But to go back to agree with Tom, this offense. I'm not so worried about the defensive line. They've been okay. You know, really pretty good. Almost surprisingly so, the first six games. The defense just, you know, they can't do it all. And there were no turnovers. And the Iowa offense was so bad, particularly in the second half. You know, unless you get some improved play out of the offensive line, it's hard to get overly optimistic about this Iowa team.
Indy, what do you want to see? What do you want to see? Indy, what do you want to see?
Well, first off, that Miller quote, you want to hear a quote from Jeff Braun? On Wisconsin doubling David Bell. So, Phil Parker's a good defensive coordinator, but I don't understand what happened. Here's his quote. We're going to see a lot of double teaming David Bell this season. We didn't see that very much at Iowa for whatever reason. He can't believe we go man to man on. Anyway.
Absolutely brilliant statement.
Let Indy talk.
Indy, so what do you want to see this weekend?
Well, we it's going to be if we don't hold them to 10 or 12 to 14 points, they have an elite run defense, and obviously you guys arrive out the offensive line. Hopefully, they got some stuff together. Petrus is on, and I'm going to be really pissed if Graham Mertz has a good game because I've been behind him the whole way, and he's let me down. So,
T. Bodie, what are you wanting to see?
Well, I would love to see Moss playing again, but he's not playing. Petrus is no Tom Brady, but if the O-line can give him, like Hawkeye Mike says, more than a second and a half, maybe we can establish a couple passes once in a while. I don't know. We're going to have to be able to run the ball. No different. Everyone's right. It comes down to the trenches. And
that is not going to happen. Running the ball is not going to happen. All right. I'm sorry.
And the defense is going to have to get a couple turnovers.
We have to.
Yeah, we have to get back to that. Yeah. We didn't get anything against Purdue, but, you know, we have to get back to getting a couple turnovers on the Wisconsin offense.
Yeah, I would like to see us, one, mix up our play calling better. I mean, it's like, I think Tyler Goodson got two carries in the second half against Purdue. Now, granted, we were having to throw, but, you know, utilize him elsewhere, too. Utilize him in the pass game more. I mean, don't utilize him when it's in the pass game when everybody's waiting for it. I mean, utilize him.
No one understands it. Yes,
first
you're
and
right.
Second, first and second down. Use him in the flat on first and second down. Let him get him in space where he flourishes, you know. And frankly, the same thing, you know. Okay, if we're not going to have the time for Spencer Petras to throw long and beat them over the top, then figure out ways to get the ball into the seam and figure out ways to get the ball out in space wide. I mean, they run a 3-4, so it's, you know, we should be
we run a
you know, 4-3.
We don't run a 3-4.
No, they run. Wisconsin runs a 3-4 defense.
You're talking Wisconsin. My bad.
Yeah, Wisconsin runs a 3-4. So, you know, attack, you know, up front. You know, maybe this is the time when they can run between the tackles. I don't know. But, man, mix it up. I mean, don't – the predictability is what gets me. It's like every – you know, when Goodson gets a run outside, a successful run outside, it's like you know what's immediately happening next. Oh, gosh, they're going to go off tackle or they're going to go, you know, off center. It's like you know it and you know what's going to happen. God, break some tendencies.
Well,
I mean,
my wife is an earshot, and I really don't give a shit. It's going to sound like I'm a sexist. I'm not. But she could tell what plays were going to be called before the play was called. The play calling, I'm just echoing your sentiment, Hank. The play calling is atrocious. It's just atrocious.
Some games it's not, though. But, I mean, again, you know, play some of Wisconsin's own game. Utilize jet sweeps. We've got the guys to utilize jet sweeps. You know?
No, we don't. Nope.
No,
you're wrong on that one.
We've got Charlie
Jones.
We've got the speed.
Our blocking scheme isn't good, and we go too deep when we do the jet sweep. That's why we only always get 5-6 yards. That's a play that's reserved for a 20-yard play. We get 5 or 6 yards.
We've had some. I mean, they just have to utilize it at the right time.
Five yards on any run.
Cite the case.
Take 5 or 6 all day.
Well, yeah, 5 or 6 yards.
Well,
yeah, would be great.
With the jet sweep, you don't do that because defense. No, you guys are wrong. With the jet sweep,
you
want to get 25, 30 yards. It's a surprise play.
What the jet sweep should also do is open up the middle a little bit. So if they're successful on a couple of jet sweeps throughout the game, that will open up the middle a bit. I don't know.
Interesting question. Has the middle been opened up with us? No. In other words, our jet sweep doesn't open up the middle because they know the linebackers know their gap assignments. No, you're wrong on this one. I say it respectfully. You're wrong on this one. Our jet sweep is the dumbest play.
You got to throw the ball. The Iowa's mindset in this game has got to be throwing the ball first because what's going to happen in Wisconsin's maybe the best defense we'll face is what's happened in prior games, and that is they're going to stack the box and they're going to dare us to throw it. So we should come out throwing the ball. We should do the quick one-two step backs and throw it into the flat like I think Hank was just talking about, send the receivers out, try to use it almost as like a running game by short pass. Try to get Wisconsin, to pull back a little bit. But you know, the only way you're going to do that is to come out throwing it and have some success throwing it. And Wisconsin's one vulnerability has been passing defense. The games that they've lost badly to Michigan, to Notre Dame, that's what happened. And Iowa's got to do that if they want to win this game.
From an offensive perspective, and I totally agree with that sentiment, from an offensive perspective, you want to put them on their heels, literally, figuratively. And you're absolutely right. We got to come out throwing the ball. Will we? No. Because I've lost all faith in this coaching staff. But that being said, absolutely perfect assessment. Yeah, we got to come out throwing the ball.
Well, you know, and you're right. You're right, Tom. Yeah, if we may not do it, but if we don't do it, we will lose. If we try to
perfect assessment. You're absolutely right. I'm agreeing with you, not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to amplify the point. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask T. Bodie this one because T. Bodie, for those that don't know, did play college football way back in the day. I mean, I think did you have leather helmets or were they face masks at that point?
That's bullshit.
No,
I've seen
not
him.
Bullshit.
There's no way he played college football. There's no
he
fucking
did.
Way.
Oh, yeah.
He did. No, but this question's for T. Bodie. Okay, so you're in a game against a Wisconsin, and you know their defense is what it is, and you know what our shortcomings are. So what if you had to guess, what was worked on, you know, during this bye period? I mean, do you think they worked on new schemes more, you know, that they've been working on Wisconsin, or do you think they just worked on shoring up the offensive line? I mean, if you had to guess, what was the focus during this period?
I think what they do and what I did forever years ago has nothing to do with – I think on the bye weeks, they roll back and work on fundamentals. You know, Petrus will get his timing down and timing down and try to go back to that. You know, they take a week off of not focusing on another football team, you know, because you get into the season and it's bam, 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 bam. We're focusing on them. We're running each other's plays. And I think that extra week gives them a chance to go back and look at fundamentals. I expect them to come out playing strong again. So we'll see.
Okay. Now, Andy, you've seen, living where you live, you see enough of Purdue and Notre Dame and stuff. Do you see strictly, I mean, is this strictly a line problem, or do you think it's a scheme problem as well?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. In this game, I would not even try to run the ball. I mean, I would throw short, throw long,
totally,
and get the ball at
Keegan
Johnson in space. I think they will do that, but we'll see. Defensively, based on our line and their run defense, I mean, I would not even try to establish it unless it's like you're not establishing it. You're using it almost as a surprise. I'd come out throwing.
Now, here's a question. I'll start with Mike on this one. Tyrone Tracy Jr. I mean, we were expecting huge things from him, and let's not call anybody out or let's not make any, you know, he's not getting the ball enough. Do you think it's just a matter of teams are game planning around him?
You know, there could be some of that, but I just think Tracy's just kind of been one of the big disappointments. You know, I mean, I see more potential out of, like you say, Keegan Johnson, Charlie Jones, because I would point out, and I think you guys are well aware of this, there have been times where the ball's been to Tracy and he's dropped it. This guy's dropped a lot of passes thrown to him that he should have had. And, you know, I thought he'd be more of a Smith Marsette this year, but he's just been a disappointment. You know, and I don't know. Maybe they do need to go more to Keegan Johnson, Charlie Jones, Arlen Bruce.
Yeah. So, okay, so we've got to – let's not get too bogged down in that. Okay, now let's go to the current picks. We're going to start with Mike again. Who are your four teams in the playoff right now? Who do you think – predict who you think it's going to be.
I'm going to predict a little bit differently here. I think Georgia, I think Alabama gets back in, and I have to say Cincinnati. I just don't see who they might lose to. The only game I think is a potential trouble for them could be SMU, who's ranked. But and then I would say this, whoever wins the Big Ten, if they have one loss or less,
it sounds like something Brother Tommy said before, but they're ripping him off.
Ohio, you could say maybe Ohio State, but I'm not just quite ready to say that yet because I do want to see how this game with the Iowa game goes against Wisconsin. I think if they win, they can be right back in the hunt. But then also Michigan State, that game Saturday is going to be huge. The winner of that game, I do think Michigan could give Ohio State some trouble. That game is up in Ann Arbor this year at the end of the year, so we'll see.
Okay. And Brother Tommy, who are your four?
What was Mike's four?
Mike's were Georgia, Alabama, Cincinnati, and the Big Ten winner, presumably Ohio State, but not necessarily.
Gee, someone ripped off
from
Brother Tommy.
Yeah.
Someone rips off from Brother Tommy. Okay, that's cool.
Okay, so, Brother Tommy, you're four.
Great minds.
The ones that just ripped me off, I said it last week, they're the same four. Ohio State's got a defense now. Cincinnati's not playing anyone. It's a no-brainer. Bama beats – well, okay, I'm going to tell you. Bama beats Georgia. Georgia drops from 1-4. Those are the top four. People don't get it. And that's fine.
Okay.
But no, those
apparently
are
they
four.
Do get it because that's what everyone picked last week.
I picked
okay.
it. You dummies
okay.
followed my.
So did everybody
okay.
else there.
Okay,
Gee,
Indy, you're
so
Indy.
So did everybody
Wait,
else.
Let's have Indy's four. Indy, you're four.
Hank, sometimes we can kind of elaborate. You don't have to have a time schedule, you know.
Well, this
someone
one, this one, because this part, because we
know?
Want to get to our picks. We've got to get to our picks.
All right,
for the
bad.
Week.
My bad. It ain't my show.
I've got
right.
Georgia, Alabama, Cincinnati, and Ohio State. I'm taking Ohio State to win it.
Really? Win the whole thing?
Hey, that's a very legitimate argument, believe it or not.
Okay.
They're getting their defense together. Oh, Ohio State gets their defense together. It's a no-brainer. That's actually a very legitimate pick.
Okay, T. Bodie, you're
four. Don't steal it, Tommy. Don't be stealing my pick.
So I think that's where we should be at, is picking the overall winner, because everybody, all five of us picked last week, and I'm sure we're all five picking this week, the same four teams, other than
we're not.
Anyhow.
We're not.
So
who's
Georgia.
Your four?
Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Cincinnati right now.
That's actually a good point that he just made. I don't know who I'm talking to, T. Bodie or whatever.
T. Bodie.
He's right. We should start picking the
okay.
overall winner.
So let's go back. Mike, who's your pick for the overall winner?
Stay with Georgia.
Okay. Brother Tommy, who's your pick for the overall winner?
I want to go on Mike's side. Mike's had made a ton of good points today, ironically. I'm going with T. Bodie or whoever said Ohio State. I'm going Ohio State. But Georgia, I go Big Ten, but Georgia's probably, if you're going to Vegas, bet on Georgia. Yeah, whoever
wasn't
said
it you
Georgia's
that wasn't
right.
it you that picked Ohio State, Indy?
Yes.
Okay, so you're picking Ohio State with Brother Tommy. T. Bodie, who are you taking?
You know, we'll see what Georgia's really made of against Florida this week. I know you guys are down on Florida, but Florida played Alabama tough, and they'll probably play Georgia tough. That said, I think that I haven't seen Georgia play enough, and OSU is cold. I think I'm going to stay with Alabama.
Okay.
Well, that's also okay. That's also
okay.
a very, very good. Pick.
Okay. Now here's now here's
are you gonna
now
fuck
here's
with, are you going to fuck with Nick Saban really?
Who's
I mean,
who's
the
here's
best coach
you guys
want to
hear?
History.
Okay. Now we're getting to Hank's picks. These are the big ones. I'm going to pick Alabama and Georgia, naturally, and I'm going to pick Ohio State. My fourth team is Oregon. Now laugh
no.
all you want,
Wrong.
But here's what's going to happen: the Big 12 is going to beat each other up. And whatnot.
Yeah, Oregon's the only one that's in our way.
And Cincinnati is either going to lose to Southern Methodist or they're going to lose in the AAC championship game. And Southern Methodist, I think, is going to lose to Houston this week. So I think they're looking for any way to keep a group of five team out. So Oregon is my team.
I love Brother Hank, but that's a shitty assessment. The other guy got it right. You don't.
My pick for the overall winner is Georgia. I just think
that's
they're
a legitimate
just,
pick. Whoever said Alabama,
okay, there's,
I think someone did.
Pick.
Actually, it made me think again. Whoever said Alabama, I forgot the Nick Saban factor. Whoever said Alabama is probably right. I forgot about yeah. them.
Okay,
Nick
now
Saban,
we're at
you
this,
know,
yeah. and now we're at this week's picks, though. This is the big stuff. Brother Tommy, you're going to start. Troy at Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina bounces. Coastal
okay.
Carolina, in other words.
See, T. Bodie.
Coastal Carolina, yeah. That's just, they seem to have things going right in that place.
Mike.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina. I don't know much about Troy, but I don't think they're any good. Coastal Carolina wins.
Indy.
I'm going to go Coastal Carolina. Who's a Troy guy anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, next up.
Troy Carlton.
Brother Tommy, you're going to start up Texas at Baylor.
Now, that one is actually interesting. I know you want to keep it short. I'm going to go Baylor, but I've got mixed feelings. Baylor.
Okay. T. Bodie.
I'm going to go with, Baylor's a home dog, aren't they, then?
They are. It's at home.
No, Baylor's favorite, I'll bet. I'm going to take Texas.
Okay.
Texas is a
confident than people thought. Sarkisian,
yeah, you can go either
that.
Way on this one. You can go either way on this one. That's a tough
Mike.
One.
Yeah, this is a close one. I'm going to go Baylor at home. They beat Iowa State. I think they're decent. Texas, you never know which team's going to show up.
Yeah,
true. So I'm going to go with Baylor.
Indy.
I'm going to go Texas. I think you guys are crazy on the Big 12, though. I mean, Oklahoma. Who's the best team out of there? Oklahoma. Do you see the can? I saw a little bit of the can. That was a game into the fourth quarter against Kansas.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with that logic.
That's why I say the Big 12 is not getting in. That's my logic. I just think Oregon could float back
in. We're all
on the
smart enough to know the Big 12 ain't getting in. People say Oklahoma.
Right.
You're full of shit. They're not getting it. Not you.
I know. They're
third party.
Yeah.
You're full of shit. Third party.
I'm going Baylor because I think Sarkisian is just not as good as advertised. I really don't. I think he, you know, from his Cuddy Sark days at USC getting drunk on the plane, I just don't think he's as good as advertised. I mean, how the hell hard is it to be good as the offensive coordinator at Alabama? You know, I mean, every guy that's been the offensive coordinator at Alabama or a defensive coordinator gets a job. Kirby Smart is maybe the only one at Georgia. He's finally
very
getting
good
it this
point.
Year.
Very
but,
good
you know,
point.
But sometimes
being
in a position like that makes you that much more smarter, you know, because
that's a good counter argument. In other words, you're learning from the best, and I'm telling you guys, Nick
Saban's
the best college coach to ever grace a pair of shoes. So, yeah, that's a good counter argument. Okay, I get it.
Okay, now, this is a good one. Tommy, you're starting again. Miami, Florida at Pitt.
I'm going Pitt. I don't have an abundance of reason. I kind of agree with what you said a couple of weeks ago. Miami's a trifle overrated. And when I'm in doubt, I always go home team. So I'm going Pitt.
T. Bodie.
Yeah, exactly the same reason. It went in doubt, home team, and I think that they're favored by touchdown.
Yeah, they are. Mike.
I got Pitt.
Yep, going with Pitt at home. I think Pitt's good. And they had a good win last week, and I think they win.
Indy.
Pitt.
Yeah, well, that's all across the board.
In a word.
I think,
not even a word. What do you call that when you change the
unanimous.
To Pitt?
Oh.
Yeah. No, I
meant
abbreviation. I'm trying to be clever, and I know I'm not in the process, but.
Yeah.
Okay,
now,
on the word. That's fantastic.
Brother Tommy, you're up next.
Yeah.
Iowa State at West Virginia.
Now, this, I'm going to go real as quick as I can. This is an interesting game. I told you guys last week that Iowa State would not lose again this year. But they had a two-point win against, I want to say, Oklahoma State, which is the top, you know, team. I
number eight team in the country.
Bounce. Yeah. I got to question the bounce factor, but I'm still, just until I'm proven wrong, I'm going with Iowa State. Thank you.
Okay. T. Bodie.
It's going to be a good game again. Iowa State won't be able to do that because they're good enough to win, yet they're still Iowa State. I think Purdy's finding his legs a little bit, though, and I think that they got a little, you know, they're the kind of place that gets confidence as they get rolling. And they've beaten West Virginia on the road before, so I'm going to take Iowa State.
Mike.
Well, this can be a little bit of a trap game coming off the Oklahoma State game. So there could be better guard against a letdown here. But I do think Iowa State's getting their traction. Hall, Purdy, and the Iowa State defense will beat West Virginia.
You know, Indy. Hawkeye Mike, I'm gonna quickly throw in, Hawkeye Mike's on his A game today because he's absolutely right in the sense that this could be a trap game. He's absolutely right. All right, I'm sorry. Go on.
Indy.
I'll go Iowa State just on the feebleness of West Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, it's at West Virginia. They did have a big win earlier this year over, at the time, Virginia Tech, but they've been sort of exposed. Here's my concern. The trap game thing, the road game, But the other side of it is, yeah, I think Purdy is the key. I mean, we already know what Breece Hall is, and we know about some of their defensive skill players, but I think Purdy has been the difference the last couple of games. I think he's the one that really they need to rely on. And he did not look good against Iowa, for instance, you know, and as a consequence, you know, they lost. Okay, here's the big one. Brother Tommy, you get first up again.
Hey, so where are you on that, on Hank?
I'm on Iowa State. I think Purdy has hit his stride, and I think that's the difference. Okay, to Brother Tommy, this is the big week, Georgia at Florida. First of all, it's not Georgia at Florida. It's technically a neutral site. It's in Jacksonville.
A neutral site in Jacksonville.
And it's actually as close to – I mean, it's as close to Athens as it is to Gainesville. So.
Yeah, the deal is on this one. Now, Hank – you kind of had a good point a few weeks ago yourself where you said Florida's got the athletes. Now, this is one I'm going to claim bias to. I've said it before on this show. I've got two boys that go to Florida. I have one that graduated from Florida. Now, how does Brother Tommy say Georgia's going to be in the Final Four and yet say what he's about to say and – this is just wishful bullshit. I'm going to say Florida, but it's just, like I said, it's wishful bullshit.
Hey, you need a little of that. T. Bodie, who are you picking?
For all those reasons, I'm taking Georgia.
Okay. Mike, how about you?
Smarter pick.
Yeah, I got to go with Georgia here. Someone said they hadn't seen a lot of them. I've been watching them a little bit. I saw that Kentucky game in particular. Kentucky's a good team. And Georgia was pretty impressive. I think they beat Florida.
Okay. Indy.
Georgia big, but three touchdowns.
Yeah, you motherfuckers are right. I'm just doing it because my boys. I'm being partial, but you motherfuckers are right when it comes to
analysis. Now, Texas Tech at Oklahoma. This is before we get going. Remember, Texas Tech has just fired their coach. Oklahoma is overrated, but they have a new quarterback, and Spencer Rattler hasn't entered the portal yet. So Texas Tech at Oklahoma, what's happening in this one?
Hey,
Brother
are you
Tommy.
Georgia?
I'm Georgia, yeah. I just think they're too good.
Yeah,
I mean,
you never mentioned who you were with. Am I up on Texas Tech, Oklahoma?
You are on Texas Tech on Oklahoma. You're up.
You know, I'm tempted. But I'm going
upset,
Oklahoma.
Tommy. Upset.
I'm tempted.
Upset.
Yeah, yeah. And that, you just heard me say it before you even said that. I'm tempted, but I'm still going with Oklahoma. I got a couple of upsets still that it's not going to make me look like a pussy by always taking the favorite. But no, I'm going
okay.
to Oklahoma.
T. Bodie.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting with Oklahoma on this one. I think Oklahoma loses. I think we lose one, at least one, maybe two of these last four games. But I don't know. I would have been to take Texas Tech until their coach, all that shit happened to me.
Yeah.
So I think Oklahoma.
Mike.
Yeah, T. Bodie just hit on it. Oklahoma will not get through the season undefeated, but Texas Tech is going to be the team that beats them.
Yeah, Indy.
Correct.
Well, Texas Tech has a solid defense. They held Texas to 70 and TCU to 52. So I'm going to go. Oklahoma.
That's
Bears.
Actually a clever joke for you. Those of you who didn't understand it.
I got it.
I don't mean you guys. I mean the listeners.
About as subtle
yeah,
as the
I'm going to go with Oklahoma as well. So just for laughs. Okay, Brother Tom, you're up on next again. Ole Miss at Auburn.
You know, I thought about this one. I was told – I didn't even look at it. I looked at the lines for minutes because I've had – like I think we said at the beginning of the show, I had a friend die, and today was not been my best day. So you're asking for an answer. I'm going Ole Miss.
Okay. And T. Bodie, who are you going with?
Stop. I want to reframe that. I meant Auburn. My bad.
Oh, okay.
I meant Auburn.
Okay. T. Bodie, how about you?
You know, This is a head-scratcher one because it's done a little team. I think Auburn dropped some games, and they surprised me and won some that, from what I can see. I think Ole Miss, and I'm going to take them.
Okay. Mike.
Just one second.
Yeah, this one's hard. I don't have a good gauge on these two teams, but I do think
very hard game. Very hard game to pick. Don't bet it in Vegas,
I'm going to give Ole Miss a slight advantage here, so I'm going to pick Ole Miss.
Okay, Indy.
I like Ole Miss quite a bit in this one. Penn State and LSU threw for 300 yards against them, and I think that Ole Miss might light it up for about 450 passing. So I think they'll win.
Yeah, now that's a legitimate argument. I never thought of that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm losing my shit. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going Ole Miss as well. I just think Auburn, they got the other stuff going on with the vaccination stuff. And, I don't know. There's something off there. Okay. Now, Brother Tommy, you're up. This is a tough one. UVA, Virginia, who's not a bad team, at BYU.
You know, I had my wife explain the just quickly tell me the lines, and that's all I do when I don't watch football. I just arbitrage the lines. I thought it was somewhat of a line that it shouldn't have been, so I'm going with BYU.
Okay, T. Bodie.
All I know is about these two teams. BYU was in the top 20 early in the year, and it's at BYU, but Virginia's traveling all the way across country, so I'm going to stay with BYU.
Another huge
Mike.
Factor. Yeah, I forgot that.
Yeah, got to agree with T. Bodie there. I think, Virginia's going all the way out to Provo. I think BYU wins.
Okay, Indy.
Close game. I'll say BYU by a field goal.
Okay, I'm going UVA. I just got a feeling on this. They've just won some games they weren't supposed to win, and they beat up on Illinois, who beat up on Penn State, of course.
They got a fucking quarterback that's the real deal. He's nothing but the truth. I will say that.
Yeah. Well, they took out Illinois, who was able to squeak by Penn State in 9 overtimes. So, okay, Brother Tommy, this one's up for you again. North Carolina at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. I'll make that
T-Bodie.
Real quick and sweet.
T-Bodie.
I know I love to over-talk Notre Dame.
T-Bodie.
Yeah, Notre Dame at home.
Mike.
Yeah, North Carolina's been a big disappointment this year. Notre Dame will win. Easy.
Yeah. Indy.
Carolina has problems on defense against the run, and Notre Dame is building up some steam in that area, so I'm going to go Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame. I shouldn't have even picked that game, but I just thought, why not? But it probably wasn't the best game to put in here. Okay,
well,
Southern Methodist.
It's just an easy prediction.
Undefeated Southern Methodist at once defeated Houston. Tommy.
Now, that's an interesting one. I don't remember getting a line on that one. But like I said, when I'm in doubt, and like the guys have said, hey, I don't follow those teams. I don't follow them. So I'll go with Houston because they're the home team. But I don't follow them. I don't say that with any conviction, but I'll go Houston.
T. Bodie.
That's what I'm saying. Same rationale there. Houston at home. I don't think there is a line or it's a pick 'em. I can't tell. It was a zero next to Houston.
Okay, Mike.
Well, it might be a pick 'em. That might be a pick
'em. As Lee Corso likes to say, not so fast.
Here you go. Mike's on a roll tonight.
I like
Mike,
SMU. SMU's kind of been the surprise team. I think they're sneaky good. I think they're going to win. And I think that Cincinnati's the one team that might give Cincinnati a scare. I'm going to SMU.
Well, that's
okay.
Indy.
That's interesting.
Mike, Hawkeye Mike, putting the SMU mascot hat on. Like the Lee Corso. I'm gonna go Houston on this.
Yep. I am as well mainly because I already talked about it, and that's how this part of the reason Cincinnati gets knocked out of it is because they will lose in the championship game or to SMU, and SMU loses this weekend, and so that just throws the AAC
whoever
version
picked
of the
SMU. That's kind of a brave pick. I kind of admire that, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Tom, you're up next. Fresno State.
Hey, real quick.
San...
Real quick. What's Houston's nickname? What's their team?
Cougars.
Cougars.
I thought it was the Rockets.
No, that's the pro team. That's the pro team.
Okay.
All right.
This is not your. This is not your. This is not your Andre Ware Houston.
You're being a smartass.
Yeah, you're being sardonical.
Hey,
I get it,
brother.
My
brother
bad.
Tommy, Fresno State at San Diego State.
Fresno State, and this is one I had the trouble over. I'm going freaking Fresno State. Fresno State, but barely. And if anyone says San Diego State, they could very well. This is a tough week. With the games you're pulling out, this is a tough week.
Well, wait till we get – this is the last non-Big Ten.
I'm going Fresno State, but it's a tough week. That's all I'm saying.
This is the last non-Big Ten game. So, T. Bodie.
Where's this team at? San Diego State?
It's at San Diego.
I don't know anything about either of these teams. San Diego State, my team, is undefeated. I'm going to stay with them.
Okay. Mike, how about you?
Yeah, you know, this is a tough call. Fresno State's had a good team, but I think San Diego State is too. I'm just going to go with San Diego State at home.
Okay. Indy.
I think Dan McGuire is still at San Diego State.
Good one. Iowa quarterback.
That was a – you mean red?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, Indy, you got a great sense of humor. I love it.
Who you got? You got Dan McGuire and the San Diego State Aztecs. Are they still called the Aztecs?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I'm
That's
sure
very,
it's a political correctness. They changed it to the whatever football team, but who knows.
Yeah, the Southern – The south of Southern California football team. Okay, I'm gonna go San Diego State just because it's there, and you know, I feel bad for them after we took them out in the Holiday Bowl years ago. So
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, this is the one that's gonna make it so I don't win this week. San Diego State. I'm sticking with my pick, but this is a tough one. Yeah.
Now guys, we're
you
into the Big Ten.
Way.
We're into the Big Ten. So
uh-oh,
Tommy, Michigan,
uh-oh.
Michigan at Michigan State.
Okay, can I do a quick soliloquy?
Quick.
Okay, very quick. I watched this motherfucker. I think his name's Thomas or something like that, the Michigan State coach.
Kenneth?
This motherfucker.
Coach?
I don't remember. It's
You mean Tom Izzo?
No. These motherfuckers are fucking with me. Anyway, this new black coach, and incidentally, folks, I'm not racist. Because I said the name black. I watched this mother stare down the barrel of a shotgun in a press conference that he did not want to be in because he's like, I want to go back and take care of business. He just won the game. This guy is up. Now, there's two questions on this game. This is the one that intrigued me. I think Harbaugh's probably better with the X and O's, but this guy's going to be better with motivation. And sometimes X and O's win, sometimes motivation wins. This week, and I'm telling you, Hank, I'm surprised you didn't save it for the last game. This is the best game of the week. I'm going Michigan State. But folks that want to watch football, watch Michigan State. I'm going Michigan State.
Okay.
Because of their head coach.
T. Bodie.
Are we on a game?
Yeah, we're on Michigan State.
I've got Michigan State as well.
Mike?
Yeah, you know, two reasons I'm going to pick Michigan State. It's at East Lansing, and Michigan State kind of has Michigan's number in this game. And, you know, they're both, I think,
totally
pretty good, but I'll go with Michigan State.
Yeah. This is a tough one, definitely. Indy, how about you?
That's the first time I've heard anybody mention Harbaugh good with X's and O's, but I'm going to go Michigan.
he only took a professional team to the Super Bowl. So the
You're
guy
going with
is,
Michigan?
I hate the motherfucker. I hate the motherfucker, but he did take a team to the Super Bowl, and if you're telling me he's not good with X's and O's, you're out of your mind. But go ahead.
That was his brother.
No, he was in San Francisco, and he took San Francisco to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's
they
a fact. It's not,
I'm
not speculating.
Him, yeah.
That's a fact. He didn't win
Indy,
the Super Bowl.
So, Indy, who did you take? You took Michigan?
Yes, Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, this is the hardest one to pick, and that's why I put it first in the Big Ten.
It is by far.
I just don't know. I mean, Michigan State has looked really good. They ran away from Rutgers, but it was Rutgers. You know, that running back has been lighting it up. But, you know, I've also seen him make some stupid mistakes, but against teams where it doesn't really matter. The real hard one part is I don't think we know how good Michigan is. That's the problem.
That is the problem. You're absolutely right.
You know, I mean, they beat Washington, but now we know Washington's not good. I mean, they did beat Wisconsin pretty convincingly. So that's, you know, there's that part.
I don't know Michigan. Hawkeye Mike would probably know. I don't know Michigan State's run defense. If they've got a good run defense, then it's a shoo-in, but I don't know what their run defense is. Michigan will be trying to run the ball all day.
Yeah. I think in the end I'm going to go Michigan because I think Michigan just has something this year. They just look a little better. I don't know. But Michigan State does
look.
Too.
They got that look.
Yeah, they do got that look. Okay, this is Brother Tommy's game of the week. Rutgers at Illinois.
Now, you MFers are going to follow me on this because you always emulate what I say so you can try to keep up with me. And you guys think Brother Tommy's going Illinois because he's been talking them up. No. I happen to know a little bit about dopamine, serotonin levels, and all that. Illinois got patted on the back so much this week. The players, Rutgers is going to win this game, believe it or not. I know it's at Champaign, but Rutgers is going to win the game.
T. Bodie.
That's a good pick, but I'm going to go with Illinois. Real quick also on your Michigan. I think Michigan has one of the top 10 defenses in the country right now. You were wondering.
Yeah, they do.
No, I was wondering about Michigan State's run defense is what I said.
Michigan,
I didn't mean to. I was wondering about
Michigan
State's
solid
defense
too.
Very solid. Yeah. Like Bob Hank said, the hardest game of the week. It's a tough game. That's why the spread's 3 points.
Like, yeah, Mike, how about you, Rutgers and Illinois?
When you see Vegas say 3 points, it means we don't fucking know. We're going to lay off our bets. We're going to lay them off to the other casinos, and we're all going to go on. I'm sorry.
Mike, how about you,
Rutgers
and Illinois?
I think Rutgers has been on the slide. Tommy could be right about Illinois having a letdown, but that was a good win for them. I think Illinois is going to win at home.
Okay. Indy.
I'm going to steal Brother Tommy's pick from the previous 5 weeks and go Illinois.
I told you motherfuckers I would come through with Illinois.
You know, how
you're right.
Go
it took
Illinois
5 weeks,
every week and then pick them to lose at home to Rutgers. I don't get it.
Well, I think the same
why.
Reason.
I'll tell you why. I'll elaborate real quick. I've been doing this neuroscience research bullshit, and I know exactly what's happening with Illinois. They're all getting pats on the back. You win at Alabama, they pat you on the back. It's in the classroom, but they're like, the players are like, yeah, big fucking deal. We're expected to win. That was such a huge win for Illinois. The dopamine levels on the players are going through the roof, and guess what happens? You got about a 4-day lasting life of dopamine, serotonin, and all that going to go down. But, yes, you're right. I have been an Illinois honk all year. You're right, and that was why I laughed. That was a very astute observation.
I'm going to join Brother Tommy with Rutgers for the simple reason that they get revenge on Arthur Sitkowski for leaving and going to Illinois. So that's my rationale.
That's a good one. Although
Brother Tommy, here's another one that's actually not that easy to pick. Indiana at Maryland.
Yeah, that is not easy. You're absolutely right. I thought about that one a little bit. I'm going to go, Well, what's my motto? When in doubt, go with the home team. So I'm going with Maryland.
T. Bodie.
Yeah, I think that having played both those games, Maryland was the better team against Iowa at the time.
Okay.
That doesn't mean a stick of difference, but I'm going to take Maryland.
Okay. Mike.
Well, you know, both these teams have been on a downhill trajectory, but Indiana has really been a disappointment, and I'll just go with Maryland at home.
Yeah. Indy.
Yeah, Indiana's really diving. I'm going Maryland. The dopamine level went away on them in week one, I think. They're bad.
Yep.
I'm going Indiana.
Hey, let me ask you guys. Hank, can I quickly interject? If I can't, that's all right. Can I
no, go ahead.
Interject? What the freak? What the freak happened to Indiana? Everyone just touched the note on it. It's like they just went down the shitter. What happened? Injuries? I don't even know. I know that Pentis or whatever the heck his name is, quarterback, went down the tubes. But remember, they were supposed to be so touted. I don't even get it. Why did they go so down the tubes?
I think their COVID year, they just caught fire in a COVID year, and they just weren't as good as people thought they were. That's my guess. I mean,
that makes sense. What does Hawkeye Mike think? He seems to be, other than me, the smartest one on the panel. What does Hawkeye Mike think?
I don't really have any insight on this either. They're just sometimes teams just lay an egg, you know, and I'm hoping that that's not the case with Iowa, but Indiana sure has.
Yeah.
Just losing spiral and you can't get out of it.
Yeah. I'm picking them because I just think Maryland's not that good.
I would tell you Allen was a great coach. Now I'm starting to wonder. I don't know.
I just don't think – I think Indiana's got a better defense than Maryland, and that's why I'm picking them. I just think both teams are foundering, but I just think Indiana's got a little more pride than Maryland does. So, okay, Brother
Tommy,
you're
proving a point. This is a big week in the sense of there are a lot of close games this week.
Yeah. Okay, in this next one you get to pick first, Minnesota at Northwestern.
Who's that, me?
Yep.
God. Another one that's tough. People say Minnesota right away, but you got the Fitzgerald factor. I'm going with, and I'm doing this on the spur of the moment, I'm going with Northwestern upset.
Okay, T. Bodie.
I'll go with Minnesota on the road win.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, Minnesota is a dangerous team now, and they're getting better. Seems to me Minnesota's going to beat Northwestern.
Okay. Indy.
Yeah, I like Minnesota pretty easily. The Hawks need Northwestern, but I don't see it happening, so Minnesota.
Oh, good. This is going to put me ahead this week.
I'm thinking Minnesota as well. I just think Northwestern, in spite of what they'll probably do to us, I just don't think Northwestern's a very good team. They went through their other quarterback, Hunter Johnson, who obviously didn't pan out, and they're back to Ryan Helinski. I just don't see it.
Well,
so,
I Indy Hawk, who very, very accurately pointed out, I think it was Indy Hawk, I could be wrong, that Minnesota's manic depressive. Which Minnesota
absolutely
team shows up? That's the question.
Well, then you're going to get another good one here.
The depressive team shows up, not the
okay,
Manning,
now,
or the,
Brother Tommy, Purdue at Nebraska.
Nebraska.
T. Bodie.
If you want elaboration, I'll give it to you, but Nebraska.
We're on time
constraint
now. So.
Right.
T. Bodie.
I said Nebraska, and you didn't say anything.
Where you going Nebraska, with? I think they shot their wad against Iowa, and they're done.
Absolutely right.
Nebraska's been in too many close games. They're bound to start winning.
Mike.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to see Purdue do it, but I don't think so. I think Nebraska's going to win.
Tebow or Indy.
I'm going to go Nebraska. Can't lose that many close games in a row, can you? Or can you?
Yeah, exactly. And I think some teams are just better suited to playing. I think Purdue is just they for whatever reason we let David Bell run all over us, but I don't think Nebraska will do that. The question is, can Adrian Martinez not screw things up for Nebraska? But I'm thinking this week he won't. Okay, this
right.
one's easy. Brother Tommy, you're starting Penn State at Ohio State.
Ohio State.
T. Bodie.
Ohio State.
Mike.
Yeah, Ohio State, and I don't think it'll be close.
Yeah.
I don't either. I think it's going to be a blowout.
Ohio State by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
if
you need to explain or justify your pick on that game, you're pretty much, okay. Now we're at the final one. The over/under on the Iowa-Wisconsin game is 36.5. The leading passer between the two teams coming into the game is Spencer Petras. The leading rusher is Chaz Malusi, the Clemson transfer, with 692 yards, and the leading receiver, yardage wise, is Sam Laporta with 332 yards. So the over/under is 36.5. I'm not sure it shouldn't be 26.5, but that's just So, Brother Tommy, you're up first.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on 26.5. I take the under. And are we doing predictions or just the over/under?
No, you're doing the game, the winner and the over/under.
Yeah, over/under is under, and the winner, I hate to do it, but I don't mind since, I'm superstitious. I used to always go with Iowa. Wisconsin's winning this game. Sorry, fellas.
T. Bodie.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go on the over, only because I think it's going to be something like, 24 to 21 or maybe 21 to 17. I first saw the 17-14. I'm going to take the over with the Hawkeyes.
21 to 17, just puts them up 1 point over the over, just so you know that.
Yeah, he understands that. That's what he was thinking.
My bad. You know me.
I agree. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I just don't think it's going to be that low. I think Iowa's is good for 3 touchdowns.
I'm sorry, I did not hear your game-winning pick. Who's the winner?
Yeah,
he said Iowa. He took Iowa with the over.
Oh, he did say Iowa. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mike, how about
I
you?
I against the Hawkeyes.
I know. I stopped.
Mike,
that.
How about you?
I'm not going to go against Iowa. I'm going to pick Iowa to win, but it's going to be a tough game. And I'll say this. If Iowa does win, it's got to be the under. So I'm going to say under. I think Iowa's going to win 17-14.
Indy. That's what I think, too.
Good analysis. Hawkeye Mike's on his game tonight. Holy shit, that's good analysis.
Indy.
I'll take the over. That's an incredibly low over/under. And then, heck, if it goes into overtime, it might be 10-10 and end up 52-50.
Okay. So who you taking?
You only get 2 points for overtime.
I took Iowa.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
You took Iowa with the over?
All games this week are crazy. All they're crazy.
Iowa and the over.
I usually tell people, hey, you're so full of shit.
So,
I can't do it this week.
Kind of
so
find
close.
An answer offensively, it sounds like. I hope you're right.
What's that now?
He says, he's counting on the record-breaking 10th overtime with each team making their two-point conversions each time until the 10th overtime.
I was just saying, if you're picking Iowa and the over, you must think Iowa's going to find a little bit of an answer or a bunch of turnovers or something. Iowa's going to win a higher scoring
argument.
Game.
That's my argument.
It's
going to
be
right
Johnson.
Yep.
I'm taking Iowa and the over because of this. I don't think Iowa can win on the under. I just don't. I don't think they. I think.
Oh, really?
Because I think if it goes to the under, it means Iowa didn't score. I mean, that's my thing. So I think it. I think.
And you have any evidence to suggest that Iowa will score? You have any evidence?
We've seen a game, some games where they have. I mean, against Maryland they did. I just don't. I just don't know.
Like I said, I got Hawkeye hangover, and I still have it. And so when I ask it, I'm not being glib in this particular situation. I just don't get Iowa. I don't get Kirk Ferentz.
I think the wild card here is turnovers. If Iowa can get, like they've done in some of these big games, 2-3 turnover margin on Wisconsin, then I do see them winning with an going over the 36.5.
I think the other thing is if the Hawks win the toss I think they've got to start on defense and intentionally run, you know, three plays that gain 9 yards, go conservative, and let Torrey Taylor punt.
No.
Do we know what the weather is? Do we know what the weather is predicted for Saturday? Do we know?
No.
Hawkeye Mike was dead right. If you start running the ball, you're going to lose. Hawkeye Mike said earlier, I think it was Hawkeye Mike, you better start passing the ball. You better start showing them that you're willing to pass the ball.
No, but I think we got to
give you open lanes. They're going to give you such open lanes.
I think we start out by going on defense and intention, or going on offense and then kicking immediately.
Incidentally, Hank, that's not a recipe for winning, you dummy.
Yeah. Punting is winning in Iowa. AccuWeather says 58 degrees, partly cloudy, 58 degrees. Didn't say anything about wind, but Wisconsin's a 3.5 point favorite, and the over under, as I said, is 36.5. So.
People don't realize it. What you actually want is you want high winds because Petras can't not throw the ball 10 yards over a guy's head. But if you have 30, 40 mile an hour winds, maybe he can get in the numbers.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
And I'm sorry to get down on Petras. And Hank, you've asked me not to get down on particular players. I don't know why. ESPN gets to do it, as does everyone else.
We're not scumbags.
A win would actually help.
Just remember this about this game. Mertz is the key to an Iowa victory. If Mertz fucks up enough, and I think there's a chance he will, decent chance,
very true.
Iowa wins.
Very true. Very true.
Okay, well, guys, we're up against it. So thanks for being here, as usual. And until next week, we'll be chatting, of course, via text for the game. All Hawk fans that are going to be there, we need you loud. And Brian and Kirk, please, please, please come up with something different. So,
here's a way I would put it. Hey, Brian and Kirk, take your fucking heads out of your asses.
Okay. I'm going to get scolded.
Hank always scolds me. He's like, you swear too much.
Okay,
like,
guys. So that's it. We're under 30 seconds, so I got to sign off. So thanks for being on. I want to thank the crew, Indy, T. Bodie, Brother Tommy, Mike. Thanks for those that were listening in, T. Bodie and Indy in the chat room. Big Sister, Mike, Tommy, Indy, T. Bodie, Sue from New Mexico. Y'all have a great week. Be safe out there. Good night, folks.
Yeah, and fellas, have a great night from my standpoint.
Cool.
See you guys.
Good night, all.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.